these are family and friends. It is just so good to be connected again. I'm telling you, as we're in this Thanksgiving week and connecting with family and friends and extended family, can you just give God some thanksgiving of the great things that He has done in our lives? We take Him for granted so often. And I want you to go through this week with just a celebration of knowing that Jesus is Lord. And I want us to live the life and be an example as we're in a dark world. So many people are depressed, going through. They need encouragement to know that our God is faithful. Thank you as always for staying connected to ebcnc.com. So much is there. I mean, if you are wondering, okay, how does a person get saved? Man, you can go to our website, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and God is raised from the dead. We've got links there that you can walk through that scripture and really examine yourself. You want to get connected to the community. We've got information there. We've got podcasts. We've got videos. So many things that we can grow. Of course, our Bible studies throughout the week. We've got our Monday manna, Tuesday noonday, and we've got our Wednesday where we're going through the book of Luke at 7 o'clock. And it's just been such a blessing. Also, in our in-person services, we have on Thursdays our 6 o'clock Bible study where we're going through the book of 1 John. And then we have our Sundays, our 10:45 and our 8:45 in-person services. And the Lord has just been gracious to Ebenezer. We encourage you to get the app. If you get that app, you can stay connected to all the notifications that are going on, especially sometimes things change. For instance, our Thursday Bible study, we will not be in person this week because Thursday is Thanksgiving. Again, use that time to share the good news of Jesus. Finally, I want to thank you for your giving. It's been a blessing. Your giving is changing lives. We believe and have taught, according to the scriptures, that God wants us to purpose in our heart that we can be cheerful givers. And because of your giving, we're able to do a lot of things. For instance, today we are doing the Feed the Hungry ministry, where we go out to Central Park in Greensboro, and we give out food, and we give out clothing. We give out little bags to assist and help and encourage them. This has been just so blessed of the Lord throughout the years. So if you want to be involved with that, come on over to Central Park, or you can come by the church around 12:30 or so when they're putting together everything, that they can progress there to Central Park and be a blessing to so many. Well, I'm thinking about the word that we're getting into. We're going to the classroom. Yes, we're going to get in the classroom today. Christ is going to teach us. He's going to show us the renewal of the mind process that we can grow closer to Him. Well, I want you to be blessed, and we'll see you soon.
This morning, I'm going to be reading from Psalm 16, starting at the 5th verse. Lord, you are my portion and my cup of blessing. You hold my future. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who counsels me, even at night when my thoughts trouble me. I always let the Lord guide me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My body also rests securely. For you will not abandon me to Sheol. You will not allow your faithful one to see decay. You reveal the path of life to me. In your presence is abundant joy. At your right hand are eternal pleasures. Thank you.
I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. And all my days I am held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Hey, yeah. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. On my darkest nights, you were close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Yes, all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Hey, hey, hey. Sing this part with me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me, yes. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendering now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me, yes. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendering now. I give it all, I give it all, I give it all. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. You've been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, when your goodness is running after, it's running after me, yes. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendering now. I give it all, I give it all, I give it all. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness and your tender mercy, how you love us and you care for us, and we worship you. It's running after me.
The Lord is just so, so good. Any amens? Yeah. In the chat, just go amen, amen. He is so, so, so good. Well, we're getting back into renew our minds and how we learn. And I'm telling you, this is a warning today. We're going to get deep. We're going to deal with some practical lessons in the classroom, going to the classroom with the Lord. Before we get to the scripture of the day, I want to go back to our memory scripture. And I pray that it's getting deep. I noticed the other day, had said a few weeks ago, I've actually memorized this in King James Version years and years ago, and so it's been hard for me to switch, but I've been noticing this new King James Version has actually been getting deep too, so I've got these two versions that are going on, still just blessing and just thinking about this transformation process. So wherever you are, I want you to focus in to Romans 12:2 with me, and we're going to read it into our minds so we can get down into our hearts. Let's read together Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's getting there, that flow, that we can use this scripture as we go through our lives, as we go through this week, to really understand this renewal process. Before we go any further, I want you just to take time and just go in a word of prayer with me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for who you are. Lord, you are amazing. We thank you for your massive provisions for us. You have provided for us over and over and over again. And we're thankful for that, Lord. Now, Lord, I pray that if someone is looking today that's not saved, that they truly have a relationship with you. That they realize it's not about just going to a physical building. That's where the saints come together and we can fellowship. But Lord, let them know it's about a connection with you, that they can be transformed, changed from the inside out. Help them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Lord, thank you for that transformation process. Now, Lord, I pray for the saints, that we be encouraged. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Lord, we just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't he good? He is so good. Let's get into another portion of the Gospels. If you've been following along with us, we've actually been trying to hold forth, as we are in the Gospels, dealing with Renew Our Minds, a chronological order. So today we're going to jump into Matthew chapter 26 and around that 40th verse. Matthew chapter 26 and 40. It reads, "Then Jesus came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?'" Listen to that again. Matthew 26:40. "Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping." Can you put in the chat just sleeping? If you're sitting, wherever you're sitting, stand, just say sleeping, sleeping. Very powerful. "And said to Peter," what? Notice that exclamation mark. "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" The title of today's lesson is Sleeping in Class. Sleeping in Class. Time frame was about 80:33. Jesus, we're at the point hours. He will be at the cross of Calvary carrying our sins, our griefs, and our pains. To get to this point, the Passover has been prepared. It's celebrated. The disciples are excited during this time, not even really realizing that the Passover lamb is Christ who has been in their midst. We deal with that Lord's Supper and also this Peter's denial, his struggle within himself that Christ predicted would come after the betrayal and Jesus making his way down that Via Dolorosa. This prediction of Peter's denial has really shaken up all the disciples. They're still processing it, and now the heaviness of the enemy is coming in as they make their way to a place called Gethsemane. Let's pick up Matthew 26:36. "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray over there.'" Here's our first point, the classroom. Yes, the classroom. God has such challenging ways for us that he will teach us. This renewal of our mind, we've got to see those moments in our lives. Personally, I think all of life as a Christian is a classroom experience, but there's some times that we really seen a sense that we're in class, that we're sitting down, and all of us have had that classroom experience where we sit down at tables and we have to focus in to our instructor and whatever information they're trying to get across to us so that we can make it through the examination. Gethsemane is known as, when you translate, the Olive Press. It's on the western slope of Mount Olives, and the temple actually directly over across that Kidron Valley. They've been with Christ, the disciples, for 3 years. 3 years. They have seen miracles like none other. They have dealt with the teachings of Christ. They've seen him be able to spar back and forth with the Pharisees and Sadducees. They've seen the forgiving hand of God when the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery was thrown in the midst. And now here comes exam time. Now, some of you just came through midterms, and you know what I'm talking about, those who are college students. But all of us can look at our lives, and all of us have had exams or tests that we really needed to pass. This is kind of like the bar for them. This is their entry into the doctor's career and all those things. Whatever a test that you go, man, this is a heavy test. This is a classroom experience for them. This is where all of their training, all of them sitting before Christ, actually climaxes. Saints of God, as we're dealing with sleeping in class and renewing our mind, God is helping us to be strong because we need that. We need to stay connected to him because there are things that are going to come in our lives. And amen. He is preparing us. He's preparing us for the next thing that's going to happen within our lives, a songwriter wrote. And it is so, so, so powerful. I notice here in Matthew 26:36, that second part, he says, "And said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there." Now, we found out as we look through the Gospels, and Jesus does not waste words. Amen. Whatever he tells us to do, he wants us to do. When he says, let's go to the other side, he means let's go to the other side. We're not going to sink. We're going to the other side. And here he tells them, I want you to sit here while I go pray. It's interesting to note at this point where he is going to battle with the flesh and the enemy, the pressure that's here, that he didn't ask them to necessarily go to the exact place. We're going to see the inner circle is going to be called closer, but Jesus is the only one that can fight through this for us. Notice Mark 13:33. It says, take heed, watch, and pray. Can you put that in the chat? Watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. What commands have we missed from the Lord in our lives? In this process of renewing our mind, how we learn, how many times have God spoken something to us? And we heard that still small voice, but yet we did it our own way. Notice how this progressed, the Matthew 26:37. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Here's another point. The situation is serious. The situation is serious. So the majority of disciples, he says, sit here while I go over there and pray. He takes the inner circle a little closer, Peter, James, and John, but he goes to his designated spot. Christ goes to his designated spot where he begins to pray, where he begins to take on our sins, this battle of submission to the Father's will. We get a little insight in the epistles when we look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. For Jesus made him, or God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Can I read that again? For he made him who knew no sin, that's Christ, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So this process is taking place, and it's not light. The situation is very serious. Notice again in Matthew 26:37, that last part, he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. This our Christ in this time, he is struggling. He is battling for the disciples that are there, but for all of mankind. Because we have a hard time of learning, sometimes God does allow us to go through times of stress. Can you put in the chat stress, wherever you sit, and just say stress? Yes, he allows us to go through stressful times. And we actually see that portrayed in Jesus as he's heavy in heart, sorrowful, even unto death. Eliphaz, in the book of Job, he has an insight, a clarity moment. He says in Job 5:18, "For he bruises, but he binds up. He wounds, but his hands make whole." Have you ever found out in your life that sometimes in those stressful times are the most growing time, or the grow, God is producing something wonderful on the inside of you when the pressure is put on? Notice what the book of Hebrews says about Christ and this stressful time for him. Hebrews 5:7, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications," here it is, "with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered." Can you put in the chat, suffer? That's a powerful word. "And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him," sleeping in class. The situation is serious. Notice Matthew 26:38. "Then Jesus said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here," there it is again, "and watch with me." So this heaviness is there. Here's another point. Watch with Jesus. Watch with Jesus. We hear him over and over saying the same things and witnessing the heaviness that is upon Christ. Notice 26:38, that mid part, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." Again, he's leaning into the Father, giving all, 110%. For us. And there ought to be some saints say, "Thank you, Lord." This is the most reverent experience, one of the most reverent experiences, as we see Christ in this Garden of Gethsemane really connecting. And we see that 100% a man part connecting with that 100% God part, but without sin. Thank God for that. He is truly that second Adam. He is truly our propitiation. He is truly the Lamb of God. But there is a struggle. Matthew 26:38, he says to them again, "Stay here and watch with me." Jesus is like, I need you guys. I need you. You've been walking with me. This is classroom time. I need you to focus in. This is exam time. This is the climax of it all. Can you just watch with me? Watch in the Greek means to keep awake in order to be prepared for whatever might come. Stay alert. I want to read that again, because we're in that season. God is telling us to watch as we renew our mind, to keep awake in order to be prepared for whatever might come. Stay alert. Saints of God, we've got to struggle. We got to fight. I remember when I was in the military, and I would come home on the weekend from South Carolina, and I would try to just stay up a majority of the weekend so I could have all my 24 hours with my wife and my family. But then I would have to get back to work on Monday morning, and I would drive those 3.5 hours, and there'd be so many times I would get so sleepy. I had to do this Greek word. I had to keep awake. Yeah, I had to make myself stay awake. And I remember there's some times that I would get back on duty and I would have to be focused in. And the only way I could stay focused, I had to make myself stand up and let air flow in my face simply so that I could stay alert, because it was so important. In this journey of renewing our minds, we've got to fight to stay alert. Could you put in the chat, fight? You got to fight even in the society that we're in. The world wants to lull us into a place of darkness. It wants to lull us in a place that we are losing alertness, that we're not focused, that we're literally sleeping in class. 1 Peter 5:8 brings this out. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." 1 Peter 5:9. I love this. Sleeping in class. It says, "Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brother in the world." Can you put in the chat, resist? Wherever you're sitting, just say resist. We've got to resist. And we see Christ here leaning in for us. Look at Matthew 26:39. "He went a little farther and fell on his face," that's Jesus, "and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" Here's another point. I love this. Transforming prayer. Yes, transforming prayer. At this point, he is taking the cup. I mean, the illusion of struggle. What was the cup? I think it was an embodiment of our sins, our issues, that the cup of suffering in its sense. Also, a cup of separation, because we realize on that cross for a period of time, he is separated from the Father because he actually takes on all our sins. And we know that the Father had to turn from Christ, where Jesus cries out, why has thou forsaken me? John's gospel gives us a view of these incidents from a different perspective. John 12:27. Now my soul, Jesus says, is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Jesus has embraced his purpose for us. And this classroom experience, what a magnanimous time that the disciples have been invited to sit, to watch, to stay alert at this time where a transferal is happening, that our victory has almost been secured through Jesus Christ. Theologian Arthur Farstead really captures the thought of these verses, this transforming prayer. The prayer was rhetorical. He writes that it was not intended to elicit an answer, but to teach us a lesson. Jesus was saying, in effect, my Father, if there is any other way by which ungodly sinners can be saved than by my going to the cross, reveal that way now. But I love this. But in all of this, I want it to be known that I desire nothing contrary to your will. Isn't that good? Would there be saints that would literally dare be taught of the Holy Spirit, the art of transforming prayer, this classroom experience of saying, God, not my will. We may say, God, is there any other way? Do I have to do this or do I have to do that? But when it all comes to, we say, God, I don't even know how to pray or what to pray for, but I'm so glad I've got the Holy Spirit. If you were with me last Sunday, you know what I'm talking about, that makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot, when we can pray and truly from our heart, God, not my will, but let thy will be done. Matthew 26:40, sleeping in class. Then Jesus came to the disciples and found them sleeping. Can you put that in the chat again? Sleeping. And said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Here's the point. Expectation of holiness. Expectation of holiness. Yes, Christ has an expectation for his followers, his disciplined followers, his disciples. He has an expectation, and that expectation is holiness. He expects us to watch, to be alert. He expects us to pray. Notice that Matthew 26:40 again. And then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? There is a holy expectation that God has put forth. He does not want us to sleep in the classroom. He wants us to stay alert. He wants us to stay focused in him. But notice he delineates a particular thing within this scripture. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? How is your prayer time with the Lord? This is precious classroom time that they can renew their mind, but also it's precious classroom time for us that we can see what's going on. Do you spend times of lengthy times with the Lord in prayer and thanking him for his grace and his mercy? Or have your times been diminished because you're spending more time in other things of the world, other things of life, and putting down the time with God, the time that we should be reading our scriptures, the time that we should be really renewing our mind in him? God needs us to be watchful. He does not want us to sleep in the classroom. Blind preacher William Walford in 1845, this was an amazing man. They taught him a walking Bible, in a sense, because he had memorized great numbers of texts in spite of his blindness so precisely. And he actually sings this song. He says, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known in seasons of distress and grief. My My soul is often found relief and oft escape the tempter's snare by thy return. Sweet hour prayer, sweet hour prayer, sweet hour prayer. The joys I feel, the bliss I share of those who anxious spirits burn with strong desires for thy return. With such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face and gladly take my station there and wait for thee. Sweet hour prayer, sweet hour prayer, he says, sweet hour prayer. The wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believes his word and trusts his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee. Sweet hour prayer. Yes, sleeping in the class. God wants us to really come to the point of really focusing and saying, God, I need you. I want to pray and I need to spend time in prayer. But prayer can be awkward. Any amens? It can be awkward in a sense because there are quiet times that we're waiting on God and we have to examine ourselves and we want to say certain things, but sometimes we can't get it together. But that's where we get to grow with our Savior and love of him. There's classroom time of renewal. Jesus says in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Paul received this revelation of his classroom time in 2 Corinthians 12:7 of this weakness, this struggle with the flesh. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weaknesses. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Could we be sleeping in class? I'm telling you, God is telling and speaking to us. He wants us to realize that we can depend on him in spite of our flesh. We can trust him even in these stressful times. Matthew 26:42. Look at Jesus again a second time. He went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Here's another point. Enduring prayer. Yes, enduring prayer. The Gospel of Luke gives us a picture of the pain that Jesus is actually going through at this time. And I want to read this scripture in Luke 22:44 to you simply because it's a contrast that the disciples are sleeping. Man, they're resting. They're doing their thing. And Jesus in Luke 22:44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Please, can you see those contrasts there? He's doing all of this. He's struggling. He's pressing in. He is giving himself to the Father's will completely. And yet on the other side, the disciples are sleeping. When he comes back, he says, you are sleeping again. You're sleeping in class again. I've been talking to the Lord and I've been saying, I'll die for these people. But yet you can't just watch and pray with me. Please understand, as we see the state of our society and the struggles that are going on, the shootings that are taking place in college, and our government is becoming dysfunctional. We've got wars and rumors of wars, hurricanes in various places, snowstorms in various places. Please understand, it tells me that we're in a time that we cannot sleep in class, that we've got to stay alert. Matthew 24:4 says, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But this is the kicker here. But the end is not yet. Here it is, Matthew 24:7, for nation will rise up against nation. Are you seeing that? And kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. Saints, we have to stay alert. We cannot sleep in class. Look at Matthew 26:44. So he left them and went away and prayed the third time. Can you put in the chat third or three? Third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, here it is, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Matthew 26:46, arise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Final point, the time is now. Yes, the time is now. Can you put that in the chat? Time is now. You just put that because it's important. It's imperative for the saints, for us. We've got to realize the time is now. I am seeing things move in place for the return of Christ as the enemy is rising up strong. He knows that his time is not long, but God has left us here that we can renew our mind, that we can get close to him, that we can choose not to sleep in classroom. Jesus rested on that third round with the Father of prayer, saying, not my will, but let thy will be done. Oh, that we renew our mind today. Oh, that we decide to pray more and seek his face. Oh, that we would learn to praise him and lift up our hands, not just when we're in a public assembly, but when we find ourselves all by ourselves, thinking about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for us. Ephesians 6:10 really sums this all up. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That 13th verse, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all to stand. Please understand that even with the disciples here, the opportunity of watching with Christ in prayer was gone at this point. Now Jesus is on his way. Judas is scared, is in the garden. The footsteps of the traitor are there. Jesus says, rise, let us be going, not to retreat, but to face the enemy. I'm so glad for a Jesus that didn't run away, but I'm glad for a Jesus that stood strong and said, Judas, do what you have to do, but do it quickly. Aren't you glad for a Christ that goes down the Via della Rosa? And there he's beaten and he's spit on and he's talked about. He goes to the cross of Calvary. There he takes nails in his hands and nails in his feet. But I want you to know that God was up to something. See, there was a classroom experience at the cross. There were not just one cross, but there were three crosses conglomerated together. On either side of him, there were thieves. But I'm so glad there was one person that was there, that thief on that cross. He woke up in classroom. Yes, he woke up. God shook him. Notice in Luke 23:39, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering and rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? He woke up. He woke up in the classroom. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. There ought to be some praises that he woke up in the classroom, got revelation. He said, I'm not going to sleep in this classroom. And I'm so glad for Luke 23:43. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. I'm so glad for a Savior that died on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave, but there ought to be some saints that he got up on the third day with all power and glory. And I want you to know, even though all of us have found ourselves asleep in the class, we got hope today because Jesus gets up with all power and glory. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies? Romans 8:34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. I'm telling you, this is our time in Christ Jesus, that God wants us to stand, to pray, need to worship, to seek him in this dark time. For people need to know that Christ is alive and he lives. He lives. He lives. And he's coming back soon. Saints, we must stay alert. We must watch. We must focus in. We must realize that God expects us to seek him with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength to share the good news. We are in a classroom environment. Will we step up to hear God's voice and not sleep? I thank God for what Jesus has done. I thank God that he's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. But saints, I want you to decide today, Lord, I want more of you. Lord, I want to see more souls be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of you. I want to be a witness of your glory. If you don't know him, would you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead and the scriptures are clear? You will be saved. It's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Would you receive that gift today? Lord, we thank you for your wonderful power that even when we messed up, Lord, you are there and you give us hope. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you. I thank you for giving us this picture of this classroom experience. And even though the disciples failed, Lord, thank you that you didn't fail. Thank you, God, that you met somebody else on that cross of Calvary and you woke him up. He was able to come to himself and he received you that day. And you said, this day you shall be with me in paradise. Lord, we thank you for the same word in our lives where we have failed. We ask you for forgiveness. Lord, help us. Thank you for giving us another day, giving us another hour, giving us another minute, giving us another second to seek your face, to pray, Lord, to worship you, to submit to your will. Lord, help us, teach us how to renew our mind even further. Lord, that we may stay focused and alert and watchful in these last days. Again, Lord, thank you for using us. Lord, we give you praise, honor, and glory for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clean. for the riches of the land. I'm not asking for men in high places to know.